Okay. All right.
So it took me 5 minutes, it took Eisner 30 minutes, it took Charles 30 minutes, it took Savannah 5 minutes. I mean, you know, so I think if it takes you more than 30 minutes for three, you know, you're probably overthinking it. But we're gonna start doing 10. So multiply by 3 1/3 how much longer it took you, and that's how much longer this is gonna take next week. Hopefully, as you get more acquainted, you know, that time will also shorten. So it's gonna take Savannah 15 minutes to do it. It's gonna take Charles 1.5 hours. But you did promise me 6 hours at the beginning, so per week. So, you know, I don't want to hear too many complaints. And I know that our previous project took some of you way over 6 hours a week. So it's all evening out. But overall, I'm pleased with how it went. And nobody was like way off. So that's really what I was concerned about. I was concerned that somebody's going to be like way off on a tangent and not really getting it. Like on a 5-point scale, they gave a 6. You know, so that didn't happen. And everybody got perfect reliability on 2 of the 3, except for Eisner, who gave a 0.5. So I'm pleased. But I think that as we continue to master this coding system, it should come more easily. So I don't know, did you guys get a chance to review the coding tips document that I also sent? Because I want to review that maybe first, and then we'll review the actual scores. Now, interestingly, only one person in the group coded all the stories, because there were actually 4 stories. And Karen was the only one who caught that. So let me explain. I don't expect everybody to have caught that, but Karen did, so I really appreciate that. Some of these caregivers had 2 kids in the study. One caregiver had 3 kids in the study. So what we did, I made the executive decision way back when we collected these data that we would have the caregiver tell the story separately to each child. That didn't always happen, but that was the intention anyway. So what you saw there for the second transcription was 0202 something. She actually, I don't know if you read it carefully enough, but she actually told 2 separate stories, 1 to each child. And so Karen sent me 4 ratings, and I will pull, do you mind if I pull up your
go ahead.
Spreadsheet? Okay. And I will also, it's a shout out to Karen. She's rocking the house. Wait a minute. Let me find this. Sorry, Elisa. I'm just trying to find this here. There we go. Okay. So, see how she did that? Mm-hmm. Take a look at the screen. She did, I hope this is okay, Karen. She did her ratings like this, and then child 1, child 2, both under that heading. Or you could do 1A and 1B, if you wanted to do it that way, and then the last one there. So I also want to highlight something else that Karen did. A few of you did. She wasn't the only one. But in the future, I want us all to think about it, to do it. So essential elements, the number of essential elements, if you could put that there in a third column, so column 1, column 2, and column 3, that will give us a basis upon which to have a discussion. about each of the, you know, each of the ratings. Does that make sense? So thank you, Karen, for catching that. And
hey, Davis.
Hey, sorry I'm running late. I had an emergency with a patient.
Oh, okay. I hope the person's okay.
Yeah, everything's okay now.
All right. Let's see here. Let me share my screen. There we go.
All right. So these are some issues that I wanted to bring to your attention. All right, in no particular order. So it's going to help me out a lot in compiling all of the data each week. Now, there are only three transcriptions that we coded, so it wasn't a big deal, but now we're going to do 10 per week. And so if you can list, you know, the ID numbers in the order in which Elisa attaches them to your email, then it's not going to, you know, because all of you, you know, listed them differently. And then I have to manually enter them, each one of you separately. So that's 3 times 10 or so is 30 different. Now with 10, it's going to be 100. So if I can just copy and paste the column into my SPSS database, that's going to save me a lot of time. So please enter in your first column the ID numbers in the order in which Elisa attaches them. So they don't have to be in numerical order, but they have to be in an order that we all agree on, and I think that's the way to do it most efficiently. Just enter them in the order in which they appear as attachments in Elisa's email messages to you.
Does it help, Dr. Goodman, just in case it like shows up differently for anyone, if I just write out like the order that they should go in, I'll write out the numbers?
Would people like that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for suggesting that.
Of course.
So we got that? So that makes it easy for you guys. So that was the first issue. The second is that some of you used Word, some of you used a PDF. Please, let's all use Excel. That's going to allow me just to copy and paste most easily into SPSS, because SPSS works very, very well with Excel. Mm-hmm. I can copy and paste anything from Excel spreadsheet and paste it directly into SPSS, and there's never a problem. But when you're working with PDFs that don't have actual cells or Word, it becomes enormously difficult. I end up having to input the data myself manually, and I would rather not do that. So if we can all agree to use Excel, that's great. Third one, some folks forgot to put their name in the file name, so that makes it easy because I download all these at once and they're all in my downloads, and then I look at the files sitting there, and if they aren't labeled, I don't know whose is whose. Then I have to go back to the original email message and try to figure out whose is who. So you can put your name in the file name before you send it. That would help me a lot. We went over number 4. If a caregiver tells 2 stories, 2 children in the study, code both stories and label them A and B. So that is to say 20801A, 20801B. The way that Karen did it was fine as well. So just to let you know to do that. And then in a third column, list the essential element or elements justifying each rating, which Karen did. So any questions about these coding tips? I imagine that as we continue learning and mastering this coding system, I'll be adding coding tips for you guys. So if you think that we were talking about something and you think that it's relevant to the coding tip sheet, I'll write it down and I'll add it and I'll send it out to you each week. Does that make sense? All right, so let us move along to the actual coding. And as I said, I was perfectly fine with
this first attempt. Let me pull up the actual PDF here. There we go.
Okay, so as you can see on the whiteboard, it's a little bit small, but ACT is Aysenur. She's the researcher from Istanbul who's collaborating with me on this study. And you can see that she did a 3, a 0.5, and a 0. GG is me. I did a 3.00. And everybody else was ones or twos for the first one. Everybody got the second two correct. They're definitely zeros. Now, Aysenur made a point with the 0.5, and you'll get to see what she wrote about that, but I think I'm happy with the 0. That's what I did. All right, so, but I do think that the first one is worth talking about because of the differences. So the creators of the coding system assigned 3. So I think our ratings trump everybody else's, I would argue. But those of you who scored a 2, you know, were more in the ballpark. So let me pull up Aysenur's rationale, and I agree with her rationale completely. And she identified the same 3 essential elements that I identified when I did the coding myself. There we go. There it is. Okay, so I am going to scroll down if I can. Okay, so you see here at the bottom. Who wants to read that? Anybody want to read it? Justin, you have a great projecting booming voice.
The story. So she said, the narrator's story shares recognizable similarities with the original story, but includes notable variations or additions. There are some additional details. Example given, the lion died in the trap, and the bats, the eagles, they came and started to eat on the lion. And missing parts of some essential elements of the story, example given, the lion releasing the mouse, and the lion's eventual rescue, where the mouse threw the rope gnawing. But the core elements of the narrator's narrative align with the book's storyline to some extent. The narrative includes 3 of the 5 essential elements of the story, which are 1, the lion's encounter with the mouse, 2, the lion's aggressive behavior, chasing, and 4, a forest trap and the lion becoming trapped.
Exactly. And that corresponds to essential elements 1, 2, 3. You look at page 2 of the coding system, which I will bring up here.
Why is it? That's so descriptive. That's so specific. So why is it still? Is it still? I guess.
Okay, so if you look at the page two here, you see the five essential elements? So essential element one, a resting line and an unexpected encounter with a mouse. And the caregiver says, the line, once upon there's a lion and a rat, the lion was chasing the rat. So there's an encounter. So that's already one point. Essential element number two, a mouse on the lion's paw with description of lion's aggressive behavior. Okay, we don't have the mouse on the lion's paw, but we do have the aggressive behavior, so that counts. To eat the rat, that is about as aggressive as you can get. So already, that's a two. We have two essential elements. Then the lion releasing the mouse, no, we do not have that. Number four, a forest trap and the lion becoming trapped. This lion was trapped in the trap. This is line 254. This lion was trapped in the trap. That counts. So that is three. And then number five, the lion's entrapment and eventual rescue by the mouse to rope gnawing. No, that does not get credit. So the essential elements here are one, two, and four. So if you count those up, one, two, and four, that's the score of three. So that's how Eisenor and I got to the three. So let me hear your reaction.
I agree that it should have been two. I labeled it as one.
No, it should have been three.
Oh, yes. I agree that it should have been... Okay, I think it should be two, but here's my rationale. So
okay. We'll argue.
If we didn't need to be so specific with the elements, like, it never says that, like, it was... The lion was in a resting state in the mouse game. It was just a lion and a mouse.
Right.
Or the rat. So are we not going to be specific with element one? Because I agree with the aggression with the eating and the trap. But it, like, my rationale was that he wasn't resting or never stated, like, oh, the lion.
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying. And the caregiver doesn't have to use the word resting, doesn't even have to use, you know, unexpected encounter. The fact that these two animals, a lion and a mouse or rat, are interacting with each other.
Okay.
Now, because the lion is chasing the rat, that's implied that there's interaction between them.
Okay.
So that's why the essential element number one counts.
Okay.
And that's what makes it a three.
Okay.
What other reactions?
I agree with your rationale for the aggression one. Mm-hmm. I see it. I don't agree with, I think it was her reaction to aggression. I think she said chasing was the reason why it was aggressive.
Yeah,
I don't agree with the chasing. I agree with the eating.
Because the chasing could have been like they're playing.
Playing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So I agree with you, Justin, that I don't agree with Eisenor about that. But the eating part,
yeah.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. So so that would count. What other... I'm interested to hear from the ones. What do you think?
No,
I heard from you. Thank you.
I thought the same thing as Savannah as well. Like, when I gave it a one, I just saw an essential element four, but if I wasn't taking, like, super, super specific, I can see why it is one and two as well. Just because of, like, the interaction that they're having and the aggression. But, like, as Savannah, I was like, okay, it's not, like, they didn't say the line was resting or stuff like that. That's why I gave it just a score.
Right, so... Maybe I should, we can modify this. If this isn't set in stone, people, I mean, this has not been published yet. This is the first use of this coding system. So, should we modify the anchor point, the content of the anchor point? Would that help people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so let's do it.
Taking out, like, resting and just...
Okay.
Lying, like,
initial.
So... A lion and an unexpected encounter with a mouse.
Just put a lion and a mouse kids relax.
I think
an initial.
Okay.
An initial, like, encounter.
I took it like very specific.
Me too, yeah.
I was scared, I was like, if I gave it too many points.
Yeah.
A lion and a mouse interact with each other. How's that? Is that good? So it can't be a lion and an antelope. Right? Can't be a lion and a rabbit. I don't know how you mistake a rat or a mouse for a rabbit, or much less an antelope, but hey, it is what it is. This is why we're doing this coding, right? Because I have some hypothesis, and so does Dolores, that the ability of these caregivers to tell a story that's coherent and that's, you know, relevant to the actual picture book is going to have some impact on this kid's, you know, literacy development and theory of mind and all of that stuff. So we've taken care of that. What other questions or comments do you have about transcript 315? Especially from the ones. Nothing? You got nothing.
Can I just say that for the second one, can you say the description of bias aggressive?
Hey, what?
Because you said even if the mouse was not on the lion's paw, as long as it's aggressive, it counts. So I think it can just use as a...
Alright, description of the lion's aggressive behavior?
Yeah, and just use the paw as an example.
Well, that's not part of the aggressive behavior, though. Let me just give some examples. How's that? A description of the lion's aggressive behavior, maybe toward the mouse? For example, snarling, trying to eat it. I should put it. How's that?
You guys like that better? Okay. See, this is a coding team meeting. This is it. This is the good stuff. What else? The trouble is that I think with a lot of these stories, we're not going to get past, you know, two or three. This is about as sophisticated a story as we're going to get, but we should be well-versed in all five essential elements, just in case. And sometimes, you know, they might skip over essential element three or two, and maybe hit essential element five. So if there's any wording changes with the others that you'd like to see, we can talk about it. It's great to be able to have this flexibility with an instrument that's never been published, because, you know, then there are copyright issues if we're dealing with, and reliability and validity issues when we try to change a coding system that's already in print. The beauty of this is that we don't have that problem. Do you like the wording of the others? So, three is the lion releasing the mouse. That's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Four, a forest trap and the lion becoming trapped. Mm-hmm. Pretty straightforward. Five, the lion's entrapment and eventual rescue by the mouse through rope gnawing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess the difference between four and five is becoming trapped and then entrapment. So it's slightly different. So, you guys like that wording? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Say the rat frees them in a different way, or whatever.
It just says frees them, but doesn't say like.
Like if the rat like cuts with a pair of scissors. Or, I don't know. Like,
then that's not relevant, right?
Okay, so it has to be the knowledge.
I think it has to be.
What if they just said like, and then the rat freed him?
could be like the rat cut the rope.
But I think the gnawing is
the...
But if it's scissors, that kind of spoils the response.
But if it doesn't say scissors, just like cut the rope.
That would be fine.
Yeah, I see.
But if it's
should I change that then?
But if something specific other than gnawing, then, like scissors or something, that's wrong.
Right, that spoils the response.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe adding in parentheses that just...
I know you guys have never... You've never had training in like IQ testing before, like giving IQ tests, but no, I don't. That didn't come out right.
He said
I mean, training to administer an IQ test. So part of you guys, many of you want to go to grad school and clinical psychology. You have to learn how to administer an IQ test. So one of the subscales of an IQ test is called similarities.
Mm-hmm.
So you know. How is a ball round, you know, or, you know, the similarities between two words. A banana and an apple, how are those two similar? What's the answer?
Fruits.
They're both fruits, right? So, now what if I said fruit, you know, like in Fruity Pebbles? Would you still give a two? I mean, you know, the score complete full credit for that, or would you say no? They don't really. The fruit was irrelevant. What do you think? So in scoring, it's called the Wechsler is the name of the IQ test. In Wechsler's system, if they give an answer of fruit and then they say, you know, Fruity Pebbles, which is a cereal, that spoils the response and they get a zero in Wechsler. So I'm using the same analogy here. So if they say, oh, the lion cut, or the mouse cuts the rope, and then they say it with scissors, that spoils the response. Then they don't get credit for that essential element.
So there was a reason why I didn't think that before it was edited, the first essential element should have been counted was because there was the one example that you had in here, and there was a clear interaction between the lion and the mouse, but it wasn't, the essential element was more than that.
Which one is it? Can you tell me where you're seeing that?
It's the one that says, one story content is tangentially related.
Wait, what page you on?
I think I stapled this one, but I'll show you because it's this one.
Oh my gosh! How can you read that? A, it looks like you took a picture with your phone. B, you need some toner, dude. Look at this.
No wonder it took you 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's why it took me 30 minutes. Wow.
Oh my God.
I can't read that, so.
All right, I'll read it for you. Right.
Okay, go ahead.
And child one, are you seeing the lion? This lion is very brave. This is its eyes, mouth, its nose. Have you seen it? As you're seeing here, this is its hand. Here it had caught a rat. Have you seen this rat?
No, wait, what ID number are you reading from?
ID? It's a score of one.
No, what ID number?
Top of the page.
Yeah.
There's no one. Oh, no, this is from the, this is not the actual story.
This is
the coding system example.
Okay.
From the.
Oh, all right.
All right. Yeah, this is the.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, under which criterion?
Which criterion?
Which essential element?
So it's an example of what a score of one looks like. Story content is tangentially related to the actual story.
Okay, so now essential element number one, or coding. Anchor point number one. So let me find that. So that's page 3, 4. Okay, so. Is it, this lion is very brave, this is its eyes, its mouth, its nose, is that what you're reading from?
Yes.
Okay. So what's your question?
Yeah, so, like, there's an interaction between the rat and the lion, but the essential element of one doesn't count.
Why not?
I'm guessing because it has to be like an unexpected encounter.
No, I changed that. Mm-hmm. We just changed that.
A lion and a mouse interact with each other. That's what it says now.
So it doesn't have to be an unexpected encounter. Just two, these two animals, you have to identify the correct animals and you have to have them interact with each other.
So for this example of the anchor point of one, do you think that the essential element, right, the first essential element counts for this example?
Yes.
Okay. Because if you look at the reason why it's only scored a one, the story includes the lion and the mouse, but lack core plot points of the original story. There are a lion and a mouse, but narrative includes only one essential element of the story, a mouse and the lion's plot with the description of the lion's expressive behavior. See, there's no mention of the first.
Okay, now I see what you're saying.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My thing is, there isn't really like a clear interaction. It just says that the rat might be afraid of like his crying because it might eat him or her or whatever the mouse is.
Here it had caught a rat. Yeah, so it interacted.
Yeah, I mean the aggressive behavior sort of implies. So if you have aggressive behavior, you automatically get credit for
one.
Essential element number one.
Yeah.
Because you can have these two animals interacting without the aggressive behavior, then they could only have one. But if you get two, you automatically get credit for one.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So what does it say? The caught part.
Are you fixing this example, or
huh?
Are you fixing this example, or because I feel like you should maybe make it so that you can score a two for the essential element, but not have one. You know what I mean? Is that
you can score a two and not have a one?
Yeah.
How would that? What would that look like, Bill?
It's this one right here.
But there is an interaction.
Yeah.
You caught the rat.
That's an interaction,
yeah, that's
right?
Yeah, that's right.
If I catch my phone,
uh-huh.
I'm having an interaction with the phone.
I see, yeah.
It's implied.
Okay.
I mean, I will take this back to Eisner and see what she says.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a valid point for her to think through as well.
Yeah, because from looking at that one, you know, so I thought like, the first essential element has to be very specific. That has to be like an unexpected
right.
encounter or something. Like that. Yeah. Because there was no like description of that except for the aggressive behavior. Yeah. Yeah.
What else? But you know, if we make this change, I'll have to fix that whole section. But
mm-hmm.
I'd rather be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like now that we changed the elements to be a little bit more like not as specific, are we like losing anything in terms of like findings by making it more general rather than specific?
When you say findings, what do you mean?
Well, I don't know, like any questions that you want to answer in your story, in your question.
Not really. I mean, I would rather err on the side that we give them too many points. The reason is that, do you know what a negative skew is? You ever heard of that phrase, anybody here?
Mm-hmm.
You should know what that is.
Yeah.
You're the stats expert.
Mm-hmm.
So a negative skew is
mm-hmm.
a distribution that looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I hope I didn't get your eye, did I? Oh my gosh. One thing they tell you to do is, you know, do not shine in anyone's eyes. Sorry about that. So a negative skew is like a really long left side tail, and then it goes up like this.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is that we're going to have like a tail that's going to start up here, right? And then it's going to... So it's not going to start it, or no, wait, I got it mixed up. It's going to be a positive skew, not a negative skew. So it's going to start way up here
yeah.
with a lot of zeros and ones, right? And then it's going to slowly
come down like that. And the problem with a positive skew is that that's called skewness, and if you have a number, an absolute value greater than or less than one, negative, greater than one or less than negative one, absolute value greater than one, then you have to apply certain transformations to the data to make it behave like a normal distribution if you want to use parametric statistics. So
yeah, I know. But do you know a technique called bootstrapping?
Bootstrapping? You mean like log linear transformation?
No. It's what you do is that
selection from the same pool multiple times.
So what you can do is if you have a skewed sample distribution,
yeah.
There's a rule called the central limit theorem. You know the central limit theorem. So when you get a sample size of 30,
right?
And then if you use multiple samples of 30. Then it
well,
doesn't
we don't
matter.
Have multiple samples of 30.
But that's why you use SPSS and you simulate that. You create is a sampling distribution, not a sample distribution. So you get multiple means and you have a mean of those means at the center.
Right.
And then those will be a normal distribution if you use simulation. So I'm not sure.
I've never used simulation modeling.
Okay.
I assume you've done that.
Yeah. Well, that's what we can
The stats I learned in grad school, you learned as a freshman in Emory, I think. A lot of the stats I learned on my own since I graduated because the field has progressed that quickly. Or I'm just a really old guy. So anyway, we're trying to minimize this. And so if we give points to caregivers who we think may or may not deserve them, then we avoid this positive skew and we get, you know, more of a normal distribution, a bell curve. All right. So I'm not bothered by the fact that we might be inflating a little bit here because it's just going to give us more variability in the sample. Does that sound good to you, Daniel?
So that means what you're telling me is that a bunch of stories are like scores of zero or more.
Well, you've coded three stories.
Yeah.
Two of them were zeros.
Yeah.
What's that tell you?
Yeah,
what are the probabilities?
Yeah, but I can't, you know, make a claim like there was only a sample of three. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, you'll have by the time we get here next week, you'll have 13 that you've coded. Plus, you look at the examples, and these are not rocket scientists who are telling these stories. These are women, mostly women, who many of whom did not graduate from high school. Some of whom did not graduate from elementary school. They were all farmers. That's what they did for a living. They farmed. Some of them grew livestock, the wealthier ones, if you want to call it that, grew livestock, cows, chickens. But that's basically your choices, to grow livestock or to farm. And most of them actually did a little of both to make ends meet. So, majority Catholic, minority Muslim.
So they read scriptures, so like,
yeah.
So even though they don't have like,
if they can read, if they can read, because a lot of these moms they couldn't sign their names. Does that give you a sense?
Yeah.
This is like rural Uganda, rural. For many of them, I was the first white person they'd ever seen. Okay, so. Many of them didn't have electricity. They just lived without it. They cooked their food on an open fire with firewood. The word is enku. You want to know? To expect them to get fives on this is unrealistic. And I think everybody knows that. I'm not ruining your. Or trying to artificially inflate our reliabilities here. I mean, it's just the facts, right?
I was just trying to avoid the skew, that's what it is.
Okay. But, you know, if we add on here, I don't think Eisner is going to mind, and I certainly think it's a good idea, so that we can kind of have a more normal distribution. And I'll leave it to you, Daniel,
I want to know the simulations. I want to know if you can score a 2, or if, I mean, have an essential element 2 without having essential element 1.
Okay, that'll be your assignment for next week. You think you put your thinking cap on, and you come back and tell me what you think. Why is that important to you?
Huh?
Why is it important to you that you can get a 2 and not a 1?
Because they shouldn't be like correlated to each other, should they? Elements kind of.
You can get a 1 without a 2.
Right, you can do that, but not the other way around. Because
right.
The way we set that up, so I just feel, you know, it's kind of like.
Well, how do you want to change it?
Because then it's like, it kind of feels like 1 and 2 are part of the same thing then. Kind of right.
1 is a half step.
Because yeah,
2 is a full step.
I see.
You can get a half step without going the full step, but if you go the full step, you've already implied you went the half step. Right.
Yeah, I guess I'm okay with that.
But well, think about it. I'm open to creating greater distinctions among the anchor points. So think about it and email me before next week. Any other issues with that? This particular interview? So let me just go to the 202 transcript. We won't talk about the third one because everybody got that one. But
I just was curious what you thought about Eisner's comments on that one. Okay, so here's what she wrote about 202. In part B, the narrative features a lion chasing a rabbit with the intention of making it a meal. In the part C, the narrative involves a lion chasing an antelope with the intention of eating it. In both of the stories, there is no mouse. There's no mention of a mouse or any interaction between lion and mouse. The narrator's interpretation does not reflect any understanding of the book's intended message or plot. The narrative does not include any of the 5 essential elements of the story. And we know what they were anyway. I feel confused about this story. The essential elements are not similar to the original content, but there is a theme related to chasing to eat. Element number 2, description of the lion's aggressive behavior. There's no mouse in the stories, but I think we can give 0.5 due to the presence of this element. What do you think?
So,
yeah.
What? What do you guys think? I agree. I think if you mislabel this mouse a rabbit, you've already disqualified yourself from getting any score at all.
It's like the fruit loop example. Yeah. I just can't do that.
Like, if you're arguing that the theme construction is what we're analyzing, yeah, like that's different than the original intended message.
Which is the content relevant.
That's a different kind of score.
Yeah.
I think that's a whole other thing.
That could be a whole other
project.
A different coding system,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you guys agree that it shouldn't be 0.5, it should be 0?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also, if you were trying to thought before, like, isn't the aggressive behavior indicative of a double score then? Wouldn't the interacting be implied to?
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you have to interact with the 2 correct animals.
Yeah,
right?
I see.
So, that does make it a little different.
Yeah. So if it were a rat or a mouse, okay, now we're talking. But a lion and a rabbit,
right.
Mm-hmm.
There's no rabbit in there. So the relevant content is missing,
right.
Completely. This is not a story about
a rabbit. I guess that's why we made it for number two. It's a description of the lion's aggressive behavior toward the mouse, right?
Is that what I wrote?
No, before it didn't have toward the mouse.
Oh,
so our addition
yeah.
is toward the mouse.
Yeah.
So if we
exactly.
use what we did now, then it would be definitely toward.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So we're good. Any questions for next week's assignment? Anything you want clarified for next week? So next week is April 3rd. April 10th, I have to attend a Candler function. It might even be in this building, but I cannot attend the lab, unfortunately. So, Elise, I'm wondering whether you and Dolores can lead lab on the 10th. You good with that?
Can we just double check if I'm going
sure.
to April? I think it's later than that, though, for sure. I just want to make sure I'm not
yeah,
going.
Sure. Otherwise, it'll be Dolores alone.
I am free at the end.
Yay. Okay, great. So who wants to be responsible for hooking up their laptop so that Davis and Elisa can be projected? You can do it?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's just, it's an HDMI cable. You have HDMI?
I can get a converter between now and then. It'll work.
You sure?
I have one, yeah.
Okay, so that won't be until the 10th.
Okay, yeah,
I should be here the rest of the labs. That one, our dean is retiring, and they want everybody, without exception, to this party. So I actually rather be here, but you know, it's one of my... It's Jan Love's party, so yeah. So so thank you, Lisa, for agreeing to do that. So Davis, we'll just, you know, come into the room. I should give you my Zoom ID. So
yeah.
You can put that in. You wanna take it down now?
Sure. You can go ahead and figure it out.
Yeah, 262-444-8971. No password. All right, any other questions? We can break early. All right, yes.
Do we add our coding to the existing Excel or we start a new Excel?
Either one is fine with me. Just be sure you have it in the order and you add a third column to list the numbers of the essential elements that you're focusing on, that you use to code the story. All right?
Yes.
See you later. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, thanks, Elisa. All right, bye-bye.
I will just check with the lab, the poster that I sent out to the lab, that I created, make sure you check all those boxes.
Because I saw that in the master section that you see,
you
use a lot of text to describe that measure.
Yes, me.
Since there's no measure for curtain class.
Thank you, Dr. Goodman.
Okay, thanks. Let me take a look. Where did I have that?
this poster?
Yes, that's it.
So if you can blow it out.
So it's...
Okay, yeah, that is extra. So, right, is that, so part of the, do you talk about your source material? Where did you get the source, where did you get the interviews?
Oh, I just mentioned that this,
narrative,
personal narratives from...
Yeah.
Me and Kalina are going to send you an email for an event we have on Friday for a club in case Dr. Kazama hasn't sent it to you yet. We'll send you an email.
Okay.
About it.
All right, thanks.
And I just mentioned this personal narratives from 46.
Okay, show me that. Okay, so what you're missing here is the reference to the book.
That's it. Oh.
Sex Addicts Anonymous, copyright, whatever. So you need Sex Addicts Anonymous, comma, and then the year it was published. Do you have that information?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I probably can find it.
Yeah, and... let me.
I do have the book.
Oh, you have the book. So then you can just cite that. All right. So you can put it in there after Addicts.
And you think that's enough? So,
yeah.
So I think that's. Yeah, I thought about it. I think it's the only thing I can say.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
And now the introduction part. So
you talk about how you went about this. You had and your partner, independently reviewed the stories, and then you selected repeating ideas, and then you went to relevant text, and then repeating ideas, and then themes, and theoretical constructs.
Kind of describe the process of, because I edited.
That's what belongs in method.
Yeah, I just said it and saw it in your poster. You use that like joins the identify.
Join the identify.
Yeah, that's how you say the poster you sent.
Join the identify what?
The poster you sent.
Two teams of four students. So there's one team of two students, each jointly identified 42 repeating ideas among the relevant text of the narratives, right? 46 narratives. And this part, these weren't separate people, they were the same two people. Further categorized the 42 ideas into 10 themes. So that's, I have no results here, but you could put it in the procedure of the method section.
And do you think I could add some references to what we, like to explain what we found in the narratives?
Yeah, I mean, if it supports your theoretical construct.
Yeah, I think
part of it is the fact that you imposed a theoretical framework onto your data to make sense of it, right? So whatever that theoretical framework is, you need to cite that literature.
Yeah, I cite the theoretical framework. It's just a thing
you gotta get going.
Oh.
But I think you're on the right track.
Oh, it's just in one of my theoretical constructs was the bidirectional.